you may bless us, that in hearing your word, our hearts may be moved, may be changed. Jesus, you are the firstborn amongst many, and we pray that we will be like you. Lord, let your word go forth this morning in the power of the Spirit. And as your servant, Lord, I pray, I stand here empty, asking that you fill me with what you would have me say. Glorify yourself in our midst. Let your words be upon my tongue as that of your oracle, O Lord. Lord, have your way in our midst this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And all those at home, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
So let's continue from where we stopped last week. We have been looking at some of the hard sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ over the last couple of months. And the conclusion of all that we have been learning comes in these contrasts, these four contrasts that we started looking at last week. You know, Jesus Christ taught them. One of the things we made mention of, which Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, was that except the righteousness of those listening to him exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, they will in no wise enter the kingdom of God. And then, as if that was not enough for them, as something to strive for, at the end of that chapter 5, he said that they must be perfect as their heavenly Father is perfect. If you look at all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had been teaching them, it ended up with one conclusion. How good do you have to be on the at par, to be at the standard of righteousness which will make you enter the kingdom of God? In all what we call the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, in all that, it ended with that conclusion. How good do you have to be to enter the kingdom of God? And if you look at it, even the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they resigned themselves. Who then will be saved with all these things that you have said? And the answer is that there is nobody that can be good enough. There's nobody that can be good enough. When the Lord gave the law of Moses in the Old Testament, we know that the law could only do one thing. The law could only point out the sin of man. It was as if God lowered his standards and came down to where man could achieve something, could try something. Even then still, with the law that was given, man contravened the law and showed that we all have fallen short of the glory of God, because no man could keep perfectly everything that was demanded of the law. Somebody tried it, that rich young ruler that we've been talking about that came to Christ. He said, I've kept all the law since I was a youth. And he did so perfectly. But there was one thing he could not do, which he broke. There was only one law that he broke. And we learned that if you are going to go by the standards of the law, as long as you break one of them, you have broken all of them. And because of that one thing that he couldn't do, he had broken all the law. And so it comes again, the Sermon on the Mount. How good can you be to merit God's righteousness, to merit God's salvation? And the answer is that nobody can be good enough. And that is why Christ went on to teach them the only way you can enter the kingdom of God is if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is all it takes. Because what you are doing then is that you are saying, Lord, I am not good enough. I cannot be good enough. Therefore, what you have done in being good enough, being a sinless lamb that was slain for the for the sins of all humanity, I receive the gifts of what you have done in being good enough. So by your death, I now can be good enough, not in my own righteousness. Because if it's in my own righteousness, do you know what it's like before God? It's like filthy rags before God. And the only measure that God would say, yes, this is good enough, is the measure of his own son. And so it is only by faith that anyone can enter into the kingdom of God. And so we now come to this conclusion, which Christ was concluding to them. The first one, which we dealt with last week, was the conclusion of there are two doors, or there are two gates. One of those gates leads to what? Life. And the other gate leads to destruction. Because one of those gates goes on, it's a narrow gate that leads to a narrow way that leads to life. The other one is a wide gate upon a broad way that leads to destruction. Can anybody tell me, just imagination, this is not in the Bible, so please don't say that Brother Bumi says this is the Bible. This is not in the Bible. If those two gates, the broad one and the narrow one, were to have a label of the direction, what will be the direction upon each one? Yes, tell me. The way of life and the way of death. Okay. Now, let's imagination now. Let's say you come to a door. This one says, this is the way of death. Will you go in? No, you won't go in. So do you think it will be the way of death? No, it won't be the way of death, because if it's the way of death, you won't go. What do you think it will be? Anyone? Just your imagination. I'm not saying it's the Bible.
The way of freedom.
Sorry?
The way of Christ.
Here is fun.
The way of freedom.
That's a good one. Yes, it could be that one. Here is fun. But I think that both doors are labeled the way to heaven. Both doors are labeled the way to heaven. But only one of those doors is the right way to heaven. Because both doors wants to get you where you want to go. But one is saying, if you enter through this, yes, you want to go to heaven. But one is saying that this way is a way of your choosing. The other way is saying, this way is a way of God's choosing. Now, let me break it down a little bit more. Every religion on earth can be boiled down to two types of religion. I'm not saying two religions. I say two types of religions. Every way where man is trying to look for God can be boiled down to two ways. One way is the way that I will choose by my own effort to achieve something that I can show that I am good enough to enter. Name any religion, it falls down to that way. The other way is the way that I cannot be good enough. There's nothing I can do to be good enough to merit this salvation, except somebody purchases it for me, except somebody stands in my stead before God. That is what Christianity is. Name it. Islam. You do, you do, you do, you do. Then you can be good enough. You pray 5 times a day. You go to Mecca. You know the 5 pillars of Islam. You do everything. Then you can be good enough. Some of the Eastern religions. You reincarnate. You come. You have to do good so that your next reincarnation, you won't come as a dog or a cockroach. So you do, you do, you do to be good enough. It is always you do, you do, you do to be good enough. And Jesus Christ is saying, there's a way that says this is the way to heaven, but this is the way by human achievement and human efforts. There's another way that says this is the way to heaven, but this way is the way by my blood, by my sacrifice for you. And each one leads to a destination. One leads to destruction. And try to imagine it. The people who are listening to him, who had they been listening to all their lives? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had been listening to the teachers at the temple. And here was he now coming to show them another way. That these people, you know, remember he said that their righteousness must be exceed those of the Pharisees. All these Pharisees that you have seen, that they pump their chest, they appear in public to pray, they do this, they do that, they follow the law of Moses, and they try to follow the law perfectly. So by perfectly following the law, they think that they can achieve eternity with God. And Jesus Christ is now saying that, no, this is not the way. There are two ways, but this way of the narrow gate is the real way. This way of the broad way, in which there are many people who are found on that way, because there are many who are trying. It's either by their own achievements or by their own choosing. People who don't go on any streets, ask anybody, do you think you'll go to heaven? The answer will be, yes, I think I'll go to heaven. Why? Because my good deeds exceed my bad deeds. That is the way of the world. My good deeds exceed my bad deeds. There was one time we had a president who they asked him, do you think you're a righteous person? He said, yes, I think I'm a righteous person because I try to do more good things than bad things. But nobody, by human achievements, can be good enough for the kingdom of God. Christ has paid it. When he hung on the cross and said, it is finished. Truly, it is finished. There's nothing we can do. He has finished the work. And therefore, what we do now is we, when two people fight, right? Somebody has to be the victor. And the other person has to do what? What do? They submit. What we do to Christ is that we submit and say, Lord Jesus, I cannot do it of myself. And so those are the two ways. Now, to those whom we spoke to, there were two ways of salvation. They had to choose. Like we said last week, life is a choice. You have to make the choice. Now that you are saved, it is no longer the standard by which you are saved that we look at these things. Now that you are saved, this is the goal that you try to meet. Not for salvation, but because you want to be like Jesus, because this is who Jesus was. Do we see the difference? One, you are walking according to certain things that Christ has said, because you are trying to gain salvation, which you cannot. The other one, in wanting to be like Jesus, you are saying, Holy Spirit, make me like this way, because this is who Jesus was. Jesus Christ hung on the cross. His enemies, did he say God punished them? God forgive them. And the same thing he's saying. We bless our enemies. We pray for those who despitefully use us. So this is the goal. This is what we are trying to be like, because this is who Jesus is. Now, we said something, right? We read that scripture from Romans that says that we are no longer under what? Under the law. Okay, if we are not no longer under the law, are we lawless people then? You're laughing. If we're no longer under the law, are we lawless? Sorry, I can't hear you. We're not lawless. So which law are you under then? Thank you. We're under a different law. We are no longer under the law of retribution according to what we have done and what we haven't done. We're now under the law of grace. And there are commandments under that law of grace also. But instead of there have been 10 commandments under the law of Moses, there are two commandments under the law of grace. The first commandment is love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind. The second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So we still have a law unto ourselves. We're not lawless people. But we are no longer under the law of the Old Testament. We are under a new law. Now, we read the narrow gates, the narrow way, the broad gates, the broad way. Second one talks about beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing. Sorry, that's Matthew 7, chapter 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. I'm going before myself. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Are we all there? Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Then Jesus Christ went further to teach them, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruits, but a corrupt tree brings forth bad fruits. A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruits, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruits. Every tree that brings not good fruit is hewn down, that is cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits ye shall what? We shall know them. So Jesus Christ, the second contrast here is after you know which way you are going, be careful about what teacher or what leader you think would point you in the right direction. Be careful about who you listen to, because apart from you choosing the way, whether you'll go by human achievements or whether you'll submit to the grace of God, there's also a choice as to the persons you would listen to. Because the people who came here, they listened to Jesus and they said that this is one that teaches with authority. He's unlike the Pharisees and the Sadducees that teach us. This one teaches with authority. Be careful the people you listen to. Be careful the teachers you follow. We learned that from scripture that in the end times, and you know, we used to talk of the end times as if the end times were in the future. End times are the times in which we live now. In these times in which we live, they said that there will be many people who will heap onto themselves, with people with itching ears, they will heap onto themselves teachers who will teach them according to what they want to hear. Sometimes it is very, very hard to preach some of the things we preach from this place, but it is necessary. Because this is the same way Christ preached, especially when he preached to those who thought they were righteous in their own selves. When we submit to Christ, we have also to submit when we gather to people who we listen to people whose doctrines we imbibe, whose teachings we follow. Nobody starts and, you know, goes the whole distance by themselves. Most of us, we are taught under one person or the other. We are taught by the Holy Spirit. We read the Bible. We gather together in groups to piece out the scriptures together. What is the right way? We have to be careful about the teachers, because there are two types of teachers also. But these type of teachers, he said, we will know them by their fruits. The Pharisees, they talked, they did not do what they talked about. Jesus talked and he lived according to what he talked about. So these are the fruits that you are expected to look at. If somebody is saying that, look, the kingdom of God is such that you will humble yourself. This kingdom of God is such that you will give unto the poor. The kingdom of God is such that you will be joyful in the things of Christ. The kingdom of God is such that Christ is the one you will follow. And yet, the people who are teaching that the kingdom of God is Christ is the type of person you'll follow, and they themselves live opposite to how Christ lived. You cannot bring forth good fruits from a corrupt tree. Don't follow anybody blindly. Even Paul, as anointed a teacher as he was, he told the people following him, he said, follow me only as I follow Christ. So he himself was careful to let people know, follow me as I follow Christ. There was a very, very popular minister here in the United States that I was listening to over the course of the week, you know, and he was saying that Jesus Christ came, and when he came, he began to sow. And, you know, he said that if you sow well, you know, you will reap finances. Some people, if you sow little, you'll reap 30% finances back. If you sow a lot into the kingdom of God, God will give you 100% back to you in what you have given to the ministry. Was that what Christ said? Because I want to see whether we ourselves know what the Bible is saying. What did Christ say about this thing about 30, 60, and 100-fold return? Sorry? Okay. What was the return? Is it money? What was the return? He did specify, actually. Yes. Let's open to it, please. Did anybody find the scripture? Let's look at it real quick. Because Jesus Christ called his disciples to now expand it to them. Sorry? Luke what? Luke 6:38. Okay, let's go there real quick. Luke 6. Yes, that's the parallel. No, it's not the Luke 6:1 that I'm talking about. Matthew 13, okay. Matthew what? 13.
Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 30, some 60. Then in verse 3 it says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands the word. He hears what is at one case 100-fold, and another 60.
What is being yielded 30, 60, 100 there? What did he say? Fruits, thank you. It's the fruit of our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. You are right. Sorry? Okay. It's the fruits. Because we will not all bear fruits the same. We will not all bear fruits the same way. It's according to how you submit and let God work within you that you will bear fruits. Because Christ taught in another place, some people will submit to pruning. Some people would not. And he said, when you are pruned, you will bear more fruits. If you are not pruned, you won't bear more fruits. So it's according to how each person, and those are consequences, they're decisions you have to make. Grace is given to everybody abundantly. But according to how you submit yourself to Christ working within you, would you bear fruits? And that is what many pastors have turned to. When you give, you will get in finances back. So when children of God listen to people who themselves have ulterior motives, they will come away with a skewed knowledge of the word of God. And that is why the Berean Christians were praised, because Paul that taught them, as good, as anointed as he was, then his fame went before him. They still went, what Paul is saying, is it true? Let us open the scriptures. Please, what Brother Bumi is saying, when you get home, look at it. Is it true? Discuss it at home. No matter how big the man of God, what we call general overseers today, no matter how big they are, check it. Is it, does it square with the word of God? If I tell you today, everybody bring slippers to church. If you are going to interview, wear the slippers. Why? You're laughing. This is, it's true. It's true. And because that is what is upon us today. More and more we'll see these weird things. But what does the word of God say? Sister Lola? Thank you for being honest. You're a good guest. Yes. Thank you, Dami. Bratunde. Yes. The land is talking about our hearts. Exactly. That's it. How it became sowing into money and people falling for it is also just about it. Yes. That's very true. Like you said, it depends on what gets you want to do. Exactly. The third contrast is the contrast of profession. So let's go back to Matthew 7, and we'll read from verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name, have we not cast out demons? And in your name, have we not done wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Or depart from me, you that walk iniquity. Let's break this down a little bit. Now, Jesus, We've already I established the kind of audience he was talking to, right? The people who came, all their lives, they knew the society of Israel at that time, of the Jews, they revolved around the synagogue. So to be put out of the synagogue then, it was like you've been ostracized from society. Now, so they listened to the Pharisees, they listened to the Sadducees, they listened to the scribes, they listened to the teachers in the synagogues. And Jesus Christ has already told us the kind of people, these people in the synagogue, the kind of mode in which many of them operated. And I will not say all of them operated, because we know that there was at least one that came to Jesus Christ at the night that was seeking for something more than what he had. Remember the name of that one? What was his name? Nicodemus. But many of them, Jesus Christ already, the modus of operandi. So, modus operandi. Not modus of operandi. Sorry. It's not modus of operandi. Yes. I'm mixing Latin. You're making fun of me, right? With English. Modus of operandi. They are MO, the modus operandi. When they pray, they want people to see them praying. When they give, they actually ring bell to follow them so that people will know that they are giving. This is how they were. And Jesus Christ is saying, look, when you, those who will follow me to the kingdom of heaven, it is not about what you are doing. It is about being obedient to doing what I have told you to do. So it is not about you saying what I have said and not doing it, but it's about you doing what I have told you. Because remember, in the Old Testament, how many things were they supposed to do? 600 and something. Out of the laws, thank you. They had so many things they had to do. So, Sister Lola, if you boil milk in one pot, you cannot boil chicken in the same pot. You had different pots. The dress you are wearing, maybe it has cotton and silk. You have sinned if you do that. It's true. That's part of it. Many of you women, in one time of the month, you couldn't come to church. And after that, you bring something. There are so many things. But remember that part of it was God setting for them a society in which they would live. Because some of those things guarded them against disease. Some of those things guarded them against what they would eat that would bring health problems to them. Because how many years were they in the wilderness? 40 years. But God said that they were not sick. Remember? The Bible says that they were not sick. Now, Jesus Christ is saying to us, not only to them, if you follow me, and you said, Lord, Lord, your standard of you being right before me is that you have cast out demons. You have healed the sick. Jesus Christ is saying that if you've done all those things and the simple things I have told you to do, you have not done. You have gone back to the first one. You have chosen for yourself the way that you will go, not the way I have told you to go. It comes back to that religion by human efforts. So you want to say you do this, you do that to be acceptable. I'm now good enough because I have cast out demons, because I have healed the sick. And Jesus Christ says, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity, because to say that you want to achieve salvation by your own human efforts is to spite Jesus, to say that what you have done is not good enough. The way you have chosen is not good enough. I will design my own way and I will go my own way. I will, by my own efforts, say that, yes, I can be good enough to enter your kingdom. So Jesus Christ is telling them, these kind of people that you see, I never knew you. Workers of iniquity. Because one, your profession is false. You did not do what I told you to do. Two, your profession is by achievement of your own efforts. And three, your profession is hypocritical. Because the things that you say, you do not do. The things that I tell you, you do not do. And if anyone would live that like that, the day we stand before God, Jesus Christ will say, I never knew you. I think it's in Luke. He added that there will be gnashing of teeth. Because how can it be that I have done so much thinking I'm trying to achieve, and then I stand before God and it's all nothing? How can I do? My heart is not right before him. Can somebody please open Psalm 19? Psalm 19. Josh, are you there? Can you read from verse 1, please? Psalm 19.
Okay. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. The voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridge.
Sorry, I think that's the wrong one. Psalm 24. That's the wrong one. Read it.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?
Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Yes. He who has what?
He who has clean hands and a pure heart.
Clean hands. Clean hands. And a pure heart. Go on. Whose heart is not lifted?
Who does not lift up his soul to what is false?
Whose heart is not lifted unto vanity? Or whose does not lift up his soul to that which is false? Clean hearts. Clean hands. A pure heart. And whose tongue does not speak falsehood? Clean hands. There is no blood on my hand. I have not used this hand for illegal gain. A pure heart. The integrity of my heart is that which I think of is that which I am. What people see of me outside is not different from who I am on the inside. A tongue who does not lift up his mouth or his tongue unto vanity or to emptiness. But that tongue is lifted up unto truth. That person can ascend unto the hill of the Lord. Anybody who is different from this, the Lord will say unto you, I have never known you. Because the Lord cannot stand before those who are untruthful. Because the Lord cannot stand before those whose hands are soiled with blood and whose hearts are impure. You can deceive anybody, but you can't deceive God. You can deceive any man, but you can't deceive God. So God cuts to the chase. He looks at the heart. He doesn't so much bother about your actions. What he looks at is the motives by which you do what you do. Whether it is in giving, whether it is in worship, whether it is in praising him, whether it is in the work you do, no matter what you do, even in your relationships, what is the motive with which you do what you do? Yes, my sister. Oh, yeah, let's finish it up.
Verse 5 and 6 in the NCV says, they will receive a blessing from the Lord. The God who saves them will declare them right. They try to follow God. They look to the God of Jacob for help.
That's it.
So for me, it just spoke about the direction of their hearts. Because from just who I am, I would look at 4 and I will feel indicted.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, I have times when my heart is not pure, when I do things that are not right. But then I look to 5 and 6 and it speaks to me of what is the direction of my heart. Am I actually trying? Yes, I might fail and then cry to God and he will help me.
Oh, yes.
But he looks at the direction of my heart and he saves me and declares me right.
Yes.
That
is exactly how it started. That's it. We're not looking at this as the measure of your salvation. But once you are saved, for you as a Christian, as this is the goal that you pursue. Believe me, there will be times you will fall. But never, ever justify yourself in a falling place. Never, ever justify yourself in a sinful action. Because you see, when God will always come as a father, he will convict our hearts. But there's a choice we'll make to say, Lord, you are right. I have sinned. Forgive me. Or, well, I had to do it. I had to do it. Well, everybody does it. Everybody does it. But you as a child of God, you're not everybody. And we come to the final choice, which we all know very well. That story that has been told over the ages. Let's open to Matthew 7, and we'll go to verse 24. Matthew 7 from verse 24. Therefore, whatsoever that you hear, or whosoever that hears these sayings of mine and does them. Okay? Remember, we've said before about the people who they say that they hear and they do not do. And he's now saying, the people who hear and they do what I have told them to do, I will liken them, I will compare them, I will contrast them, I will liken them unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them shall be likened unto a... And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I come from a part of Nigeria where there are lots of rocks. It is called Abe Okuta, under a rock itself. And I remember when we went home for Christmas, behind our house and all around us, there were these massive rocks. And when I mean rock, I don't mean small stone. I mean rocks, something, maybe half of this building, as big as half of this building. Massive rocks. And some people built their houses. They cemented their houses into those rocks. And many of the houses didn't need a foundation because they were built already upon a solid foundation. There cannot be any more solid foundation than that rock. So I understand what it means when you build your house upon the rock. Some time ago in, I think it was in California, maybe, I don't know what state, but I saw these beautiful buildings that were built, you know, they overlooked the sea. They were built on like a cliff's edge. But the cliff's edge they were built upon, there was no rock there. It was all sand. And as the years went by, the sea began to chip away at the you know, they were built here at the bottom of where the houses were built. And over time, as the sea chipped it away, it came to a point where those that were built at the very edge of the cliff, they began to fall into the sea. They began to fall. All the houses along the coastal lines, they just began to fall into the sea. And these were multi-million dollar houses, beautiful. And it reminded me of what Jesus Christ said here. No matter how beautiful your life is, if it's not upon the rock of Christ, brothers and sisters, when the troubles of life come and begin to chip away at the foundation, it will reveal what sort of foundation you have built your life upon. It will reveal what sort of life foundation you have built your life upon. And Jesus Christ is contrasting two ways. You can either build your foundation upon human achievement, upon human effort, or you can submit and trust by faith in me. Because if what your life is built upon, if what your trust that when, no matter what comes, I will stand. If what it is material things, there are many greater than us who have built their houses on material things. Many greater mortals that could not stand in the day of visitation of trouble. But those who have built their lives upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the day of visitation of trouble comes, it is not that you will stand by yourself, but you will know who to call upon. Because, you know, the Christian walk is not that. Remember when we said that this narrow way, the root word for that narrow way is compressed. It also means that the way you have been asked to go is a way in which you are pressed by life, you are pressed by the enemy, you are pressed by so many things. But you have somebody who is walking that road with you. You have somebody that in the day of, and trouble is meant to come on everybody, no matter who you are, Christian or non-Christian, rich or poor, man or woman, child or adult, no matter, trouble will come knocking one day in life. And there are many who have built their lives upon other things than the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is himself, right from the Old Testament, has ever been the rock. He was the rock upon which gave water unto those in the wilderness. He's the rock upon which he said we should build our lives, trusting in him, not in anything material, not in anything we have achieved of ourselves. That when the day of visitation of trouble comes, you can say, Lord, I have built my life on you. Help me. Help me. I don't know whether it was a Bible or somebody that says that life is meant for trouble. Life is meant for trouble. Sorry? It was Job. Okay. But what gets us through is that each day when we wake up, we look at it as, Lord, this is a new day. Deliver me from what? Evil. He himself told us that sufficient for each day are the evils of that day. So you cannot say, Lord, please deliver me from everything of evil of tomorrow. No, because you have to go through today. Each day has its own troubles. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking us to make the decision, just as Moses stood before the congregation, the church in the wilderness, and told them, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He told them the litany of all that they had gone through. And he says, choose life, choose life. It's the same choice we have been asked to make. Yes, we are saved. But on our daily choices, what do we choose? The final conclusion is that Christ is a rock, is a foundation upon which a life can be built. And how, you ask me, what I will say is that, do we ever ask him? When we want to look for a job, do we invite him? Help me. Every day we start work, we say, Lord, bless the work of my hand. Give me wisdom for today. When you sit down in school, do you ever pray, Lord, help me to understand what I'm learning? If you go out on a journey, do you pray, Lord, this road is fraught with many evils? You know, many of us might not pray it in America because we don't have bandits on the road. But it's making it a daily part of life, inviting him. Because if he's not invited, he will not force himself upon anybody. Let's read the last parts and I'll leave us with something. Verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught them as one having authority as not as the scribes. It's very easy for children to know those who truly are for them and those who are not for them. And what do I mean by that? You know, there are some people, parents, aunties, uncles, who to children, they will tell children to do something that they themselves are not living according to. And children are like sponges that they can sift it very easily to know whether this one is genuine or not. And these people, they knew that this Jesus that was talking was another, because he backed up what he said by how he lived. The scribes, we know them now. Isn't it the friends of Nicodemus that we see all around? They stand, they pray, but you know, how many of them do? They buy cars that when they are leaving church, they say, God bless you. And they would not bother to take anybody to the bus stop. We know them. But Christ is, so when he taught them as one having authority, because he said he did. And he implored upon others to do according to how he has lived. Jesus Christ said something, which is, you know, final word I want to leave us with on this topic, which is what I see in America today. The Western world, they call many countries, you know, they used to call India a third world. India is now one of the first world nations. They call Africa the third world. And we were watching something yesterday, and it's like a confusion that has come upon the Western society, not only in America, in Canada, in Europe, where once Christ has been left out of the building of a nation, it as if that nation loses its moral bearings and anything goes. It's as if a confusion comes upon the nation that they don't know what is right from what is wrong. They don't know their left from their right, that it's like anything goes. You see, what I'm talking about is not only for a nation. It's also for a family. It's also for an individual. Because the other way around is how we build a nation. When each individual determines in his heart to follow after Christ in the way that is right. And as those individuals gather in families, they determine that in their family, they would follow Christ according to the dictates that Christ has left them. And when those families now gather together as nations, that nation will have a moral bearing. No nation can change its ways from the top to the bottom. It's always from the bottom to the top. And once we begin to lose our ways individually, the moral bearings of the nation itself will be warped. What we have upon ourselves in America today is where a man doesn't know whether he's a man or a woman. A woman doesn't know whether he's a man, she's a man or a woman, or whether they have a gender at all. Language itself doesn't mean anything any longer. When a person, you will ask them to call them they, and we know that they is either for many people or for a legion of demons. But these things that we see, they're not new. They're not new. Because we read about Sodom and Gomorrah before God destroyed it. I don't think we're there yet. But that is the natural inclination if we continue the path we are. So it is imperative for us as Christians who are the light to make the decision, as we are talking about decisions here that we make on a daily basis, to live for Christ. Maybe something might be seen of us to changing something in somebody else. It only starts, they say that, look, how did they say it about the ocean? That, Brother Elijah used to say that you cannot stand at the brink of an ocean and be washing your hand with spits. We are at the brink of the ocean of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us drink of him. Let us wash in him. Maybe somebody somewhere might be affected. And that person somewhere might be a lawmaker or a parent or a policeman. Somebody that is affected by our lives would maybe do better somewhere. That the nation itself might be steered back to the right course. The problem is not with Biden. The problem is not with Buhari. The problem is with individuals who have lost their moral bearings, gathering in churches to pray. To pray prayers made up of so much work without hearts being right. Prayers made of so much energy without hands being clean. So much words without tongues that have been set to speak in truth. And if we continue like that, the church will continue to move. There'll be so much, commotion, but we'll be going nowhere. The nation will be going nowhere. Like I said, we are not there yet. But do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, you know, when it becomes legal to be able to marry your pets. That is not the day the nation went mad. The nation is already mad now. The question is, are we joining them? Or are we making a difference in following hard after Christ? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as you have given each and every one of us a choice, two ways. We will decide on which way we will go. Please help us to live in the way that you have chosen. There's a way that seems right to a man, and the end thereof is destruction, your word tells us. And you've said it so many times in so many ways. But we pray as we come to you, knowing that, Lord, you are the answer to everything. When we resign ourselves to you, when we submit to your truth, though we miss it, you will be gracious. Just as that woman who was caught in adultery, you did not say that she should go away from you. Rather, it is those who are hypocrites you chased away from yourself. You have always come to redeem. You have always come to set right that which is wrong, to have mercy upon the sinner that repents. And we invite you, Lord Jesus, to have mercy upon us. In any way in which we have lived contrary to your own way, in any way in which we have not looked at the log in our eye, but are able to see the speck in the eyes of others, in any way in which we have chosen to build our careers, our homes, our families, our church on sand, forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us, Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us. Help us to live for you. Help us to be changed by your word. Help us to determine to be like you. Lord, this we pray in your precious name. Amen.